from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Home and Home.
Now, though, we are joined here on Home and Home, a radio.com sports original, by my good buddy Andrew Brandt. He is the host of the Business of Sports podcast. Joins me every week on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, both of which, by the way, available right here on the radio.com app, the greatest app in the history of mankind. He also writes for the MMQB. He heads up the Sports Law Institute over at Villanova. He does it all, and he's here to help us with the NFL CBA stuff. And I guess I'll start with this, Andrew. What is your understanding of exactly where things stand right now?
Yeah, always great to be with you, Ross. What we're talking about now is we have a 3-step process for the union to ratify a proposed deal that's been offered to them for the owners for the next 10 years. And the 3 steps are union leadership, which has negotiated this deal, 4 steps, to the executive committee, 11 man group, which has voted slightly but voted against recommending it, 6-5, to the 32 player reps, which eventually would go to the 1900 NFL players. So where we are is that the 6-5 recommendation has held up sending it to the next levels, and we are hearing that there will be more negotiations this week in Indianapolis between the owners and the players to try to get a deal that they do want to recommend to the 32 player reps.
Andrew, it seems like the NFL is very resolute on getting this 17 game. They want to negotiate this into their next TV package. But what do the players hope to gain from this? And is it really a negotiation? What can they possibly get out of this negotiation that makes it palatable for them, even though they will make more money with expanded rosters and more salary?
Yeah, I mean, I think you hit on the key aspect. There's 20-something deal points involved here. But what have we heard, guys, for the last 1, 2, 5, 10 years from players? No way, no how, in God's green earth, are we playing more than 16 games. And it's disingenuous of ownership to suggest that while saying health and safety are so important. Yet, here we are. So it becomes a business deal, okay? We'll give up our safety. It's a business deal. So the ultimate question is, are they getting enough for this major, major concession, which I had said all along, there's no way they get a CBA without it, because that's the real value from the players to the owners. And yes, you're going to talk about, everyone's going to talk about pension increases and increased rosters, but to me, it's always follow the money. And the money, in simplistic terms, it was 50-50 10 years ago. The owners imposed their will last time to get a 53-47 split. Now the split will go to 48.5 in a couple years. And again, my opinion, that's not enough. Not enough for a 10-year deal. You know, why couldn't it go from 48.5 to 49 after 4 years? 49 to 49.5 after 6 years? 49.5 to 50 after 8 years. To me, that would be a lot more equitable and wouldn't skew the deal if they could get it.
We're talking with Andrew Brandt. Check him out on Twitter, at Andrew Brandt, B-R-A-N-D-T, the host of the Business of Sports podcast. You know, let's advance the story, though, on some level, Andrew, because I've seen your tweets, and it seems clear that you don't really see much of a need for any type of sense of urgency on the NFLPA's part. At this point, though, what is their real leverage if you play this thing out over the next year or so?
I think it's the leverage is the same that it is right now, which is ownership really wants a deal so they can go to these TV networks and broadcast entities, digital media, and say we have labor peace for 10 years. Because without a deal, they're negotiating like, yeah, I mean, we still could have a lockout. You know, we still could have labor stoppage in 2021. And this gives them peace of mind. No one's going to buy into a product that's uncertain in a year. So, listen, my point in all these tweets, Ross, is that why is everyone, not everyone, why are some media and people going to the idea of lockouts and strikes and missed games now? I mean, we're 13 months away from expiration of this deal. We're 20 months away from a potential missed game. So I just don't see the urgency. And the urgency is on the owner's part, which gives the players leverage. You know, again, Andrew, go ahead.
I mean, this is a really interesting negotiation that's about to take place with the NFL and rights deals, because it's a bit non-traditional in a sense, because you now have streaming services that will be involved, whether that's Netflix, Amazon, Hulu, Apple TV, whoever that might be, now flooding the marketplace. So this is really a big one for the NFL. So that leverage is even more pronounced for the players, considering what's about to take place with these negotiations and the digital properties.
Yeah, and my feeling, Dave, is all along, it's not going to be and or. It's going to be both. I mean, it's not going to be or. It's going to be and. So the new deals are going to be with CBS, NBC, Fox, but they're also going to be with Google, Yahoo, Amazon, Twitter, Facebook. I mean, so it's going to be both, and they're going to be massive. And I was involved with the Amazon broadcast, contributing business insight to Hannah Storm and Andrea Kramer on the stream. That's the future. You know, Thursday night was broadcast Fox, cable NFL Network, and streaming Amazon. I think that's the future of NFL broadcast.
All right, so here's another question, Andrew, along those lines. It felt to me like there was a decent chance this deal was going to get done on Friday, until Thursday came, the NFL released that statement, and the last couple sentences made it clear that if it wasn't accepted, the NFL was ready to move on with continuing the same CBA for the 2020 season. And then you had the J.J. Watt tweet that night. I almost feel like all the PR, with every member of the media leaking out all these favorable terms, and the way the NFL framed their statement, I almost felt like the NFL PA and some of the players felt like they were being pushed into a corner and they didn't like it.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the spin, I get it. People that work for NFL Network, I get it. You know, it's like they're not going to say it's a bad deal for the players. So what I tried to do is sort of see it from both sides. And I got a lot of players following me over the last few days, and I appreciate that. I just think what we have to do is try to be down the middle on this stuff, because we don't know what's really in this deal. But I think people are making too much of J.J. Watt and these rich players, and it's being this kind of minority and the rank and file. Listen, the 6-5 vote were not the 6 against it. I don't know who they are, but they're not J.J. Watt. They are rank-and-file players. So, you know, this executive committee is not made up of J.J. Watts. I know Richard Sherman's a star, but listen, we have to lose that sort of theory about this. This is not rank-and-file saying it's all good and stars against it. That committee is made up of a lot of rank-and-file, so let's be clear about that.
Andrew, perhaps you can figure this out for me. You're a smart guy. I feel smarter just listening to you. I've said it very often when you're on my radio show before. playing an odd number of games presents a really bizarre situation to me. Are you going to play one extra road game every other year? Are you going to have the home game every other year? Are you going to have a neutral site game every year? And then the logistics that go into that and the lack of control in non-NFL stadiums and facilities, and we've seen the effect of that on all sports when you're playing in a non-NFL or a stadium that's not sanctioned by your league. So how is that going to work for this going forward if you're going to play an odd number of games?
You know, in all of my sources on the management side, not one has had a theory for that. It's almost like we'll figure it out. It obviously won't happen until the earliest, 2021. And you're right. It could be 9 games home 1 year, 8 games home the next year, rotate. And then we keep hearing about international. But we would need a lot more international games. Now, maybe it goes from 4 to 8 in London. So you got half the league playing in London. And then you have to figure out Mexico and Toronto and Germany, you know, to fill in the rest of the league. They clearly want to expand international, and that's part of it. But maybe the first 2 years, half the league goes 8 home games, half the league goes 9 home games, and they switch the next year. You know, again, this is not fleshed out at all.
Andrew, always great talking with you. Looking forward to talking with you later on in the week. And, of course, checking out the Business of Sports podcast. Everybody needs to follow him on Twitter, at Andrew Brandt. Thanks so much for the time.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, everybody, it's Ross Tucker. Thanks for listening to the Home and Home podcast. Remember, you can watch or listen live every day from 8:30 to 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time exclusively on the radio.com app or on the web at radio.com/home.
Home and Home.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.